And so tonight we're going to return to this passage. It's found at the end of the sixth chapter of Luke's Gospel. It's the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And we read the verses 46 to 49. This is the Word of God. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation of the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Jesus is at the end of a sermon that he has preached on the plateau. In the 17th verse of Luke's Gospel, we read, "He came down with them," that's the apostles, the 12 who had him chosen after his night of praying. "And he's with a great crowd of his disciples and a multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem, the Sea of Tyre and Sidon are there. They've come to hear him, they've come to see him, heal people of their diseases and hear him preach." What we have in Luke's Gospel is a shortened version of this psalm. The more extensive version of it is found in Matthew's Gospel. Jesus has preached to them concerning the way of life, eternal life. He has spoken of the way of salvation in the kingdom of God, the greatest message that any human being can hear. He has spoken to them of their need to be salt preserving and light revealing. He has spoken of such practical details as how they're to handle anger in their lives, how they're to deal with lust. He has addressed the issue of divorce. He has spoken about oaths and retaliation. He's spoken about loving your enemies, giving to the needy. He gave them the Lord's Prayer, instructions regarding fasting, the necessity not to pursue after wealth but lay up treasures in heaven, not to worry about things that you have no influence or control over, to take care when you speak of other people and not to judge them, to seek after God, to be aware that your life will manifest what's really in your heart. You do declare by the things that you do what is truly in your heart. The good tree bears good fruit. The tree that is not good does not bear good fruit. And he comes at the end of this very challenging, very powerful, very graphic and illustrationally based sermon to this challenge for a response. All preaching, if it is of any value, should carry with it a challenge for a response. A lecture is different. I was in speaking at the Youth Fellowship in the Glasgow RP Church on Friday evening. I had received a late invitation to do so, and I went in and I took the big whiteboard that I use for the Bible classes here on a Sunday morning in, and I spoke to them. I gave them a lecture, a mini lecture. And it was information. This is information on the subject in which I was speaking on. I obviously wanted them to receive that information and think about it and take whatever lessons they wanted to receive from it. At the end of it, I sat down and we sat and talked over tea, French fancies, chocolate hobnobs, chocolate fingers, and then there were snake sours as well. So it was a great evening. It planned to last for an hour and it lasted 2 hours. And I got a text from the minister in Glasgow saying it was excellent. They really enjoyed it. Practical evening, I thought, well, that's good. At least they enjoyed it as much as I did. But it was a lecture. It was information-based. When you're preaching, the object of preaching is to bring the word of God to bear upon the hearer in such a way that by the Spirit of God they will respond. They will go away having something to think about for their lives. That's the purpose of the preaching. The declaration of God's word should elicit from us a response. The response may be that we don't want to hear it. The response may be that we do want to hear it. The desired response is that we will hear it, think about it, and then apply what we hear. Jesus here preached in the closing verses of Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, with a view to getting a response. He begins with a very challenging question. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" Jesus wasn't beyond directing a question that really got under the skin. He wasn't someone who preached to please. He didn't preach so that people would say of him, well, he was enjoyable. He was articulate. He was thoughtful. He was pleasant. He left me with a good feeling. He has a good way of expressing himself. Jesus wasn't interested in that. What Jesus was interested in was, have what I said had any impact on your life? And evidently, he was conscious that among this great multitude of people, there were many who were declaring verbally an acknowledgement of Jesus, a very powerful acknowledgement. They were saying to him, Lord, Lord. In other words, they were saying, you are sovereign in my life. You're the one, when you speak, I listen. You're the king. I have a responsibility to do what you say. And yet, Jesus was saying, why do you say, Lord, Lord? Why do you say that I am sovereign? Why do you say that I am king? Why do you say that I rule over you? When the fact is, you will not do what I tell you to do. It's irrational. It doesn't make any sense. And then he goes on and he speaks about how those who come to hear him, hear his words and do them, what they are like. And in giving us this illustration, he is giving us a very simple, as he often did, very simple graphic picture of how we should build our lives. How we should build our lives. He speaks of the necessity to build. And everyone builds their life. But he speaks, and his primary statement concerning the building of our lives is the foundation upon which we build our lives. And the reason why he says it is of real importance that you consider the foundation upon which you build your life, the reason why that's so important is because the life that you build will on occasions be tested. And if you have not built your life on the correct foundation, then when the testing comes, there will be a serious consequence for your life. And ultimately, when the final test comes, if you have not built it on the correct foundation, then there will be a terrible consequence for your life. Not just physical now, but for all eternity. And so what Jesus is speaking here is not the issues on the fringes of life. He's not speaking about those things which are of little consequence. The things of personal preference, which one can choose one way or one chooses another. He's talking here about the very essence of life itself. He's asking questions and he's giving illustrations concerning the real importance of thinking about our lives, how we construct our lives, the foundation upon which we construct our lives, the testing that will prove one way or other that we have correctly constructed our lives, and the test that will ultimately decide whether our lives have been constructed in a way that is righteous and leads to eternal life, or our life has been constructed on that which is not righteous and will lead to eternal separation from God. He speaks of two men. Each of them are building a house. They have things in common, therefore. They are going to construct an edifice in which they're going to live. We're not told what size the respective houses are, whether they're grand or whether they're small. In many ways, it doesn't really matter the various sizes or how many rooms are in the house or how many ensuite bathrooms they have. That's an irrelevancy because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what size the house is. What matters is the manner in which it's built and the foundation upon which it's built. It's a building of life, which is going to happen regardless of whether they do it consciously or not. I think it's important to get that our lives are built day by day as we live them, whether we do so consciously or not. Our characters are framed day by day based upon the choices that we make, whether we consciously are aware of that or not. Every thought that we think, every decision that we take, has an impact on the type of life that we are building for ourselves. Every action, that has an implication. Our minds are astonishing things. Our minds are truly remarkable. And what we invest in our minds and our hearts has a huge, huge impact on our lives and the characters that we own and the characters that we possess. Sometimes people think that they only make decisions at critical times in their lives and that those decisions then have the impact on their lives. And it's true that at times in our lives we do have critical decisions to take. There's no doubt about that. In our lives there are moments when there are huge decisions that we have to take. And often the decisions that we make at that given point does have a critical bearing on the direction which our lives will take, at least for a season. But many people think then and deduce from that it's only in the critical moments of our lives that the big decisions that affect our lives. That's not the case. It's not the case. Our lives are constructed day by day as we lay stones on a foundation that ultimately proves the case of our lives. It's a daily work. And whether we are conscious of that or not conscious of that doesn't matter. The fact is, it's the way it works. So our lives are being built whether we actually consciously think about it or not. With that fact before us, Jesus then brings us to the foundation. The life that we're going to build, the character that we're going to lay, the character which you will have in 10 years' time, the life you experience in 10 years' time will be a product of the decisions that you make every day from now until then. What then is a critical thing, Jesus says, that will have an impact on whether in 10 years' time you will be walking in a stronger relationship with God, or you'll be sitting at home on a Sunday night, because you'll be sitting at home on a Sunday morning, because whatever relationship you've had with God at this point in your life has not been real, and you've just been going through the motions. What is the key thing that we need to focus on? Well, it's the foundation. Jesus speaks of these two men, and he says of the first man, he's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. The second man, who hears and does not do them, is like a man who built a foundation on the ground built a house on the ground without a foundation. So there's a foundation being built either way. You have a foundation on which you build. Nobody constructs anything without a foundation. You can't go out and build something on thin air. Even if you build it on stilts, you're still building those stilts into some form of ground. There's nothing that floats in terms of a house. And if your mind goes off at this moment to boats and other stuff, then if you want to play that daft nonsense, you go and play that daft nonsense. I'm not here to try and rein every thought of your brain in that's running a tangent. If that's where you're at in your heart, then fine, go there. Here this man is working. Here his mind is working in his heart. He's building it on a rock. He's building it on a rock. And who is this rock? What is this rock? This rock is nothing less than the Word of God. This rock is nothing less than the person of Christ. Because he says, everyone who comes to me, everyone who hears my words, everyone who does my words, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. So the rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. The rock is the Word of God. The rock is the hearing of the Word of God. The rock is the doing of the Word of God. When you come to Jesus, you're coming to the rock. When you hear the words of Jesus, you're hearing the words of the rock. When you do the words of Jesus, you're doing the words of the rock. What a foundation. A rock is that which is settled. It's a settled mass. A rock is that which is solid. A rock is that which is enduring. And this man seeks out this rock. He digs deep in order to find the rock. He doesn't just simply, in terms of his life, build at the most attractive location possible. He doesn't simply say, there's a plot of ground, I will start to construct my house there, I will build my life upon that, because it's easily accessible. It's not because of its pleasant outlook. He doesn't look and say to himself, I'm going to build this house in an attractive location, easy access routes, and it doesn't really matter what the foundation is. He builds his rock. He builds his foundation. Or rather, he builds his house on a foundation, having dug and having searched out and having thought about that which will provide his house with a foundation, which will mean that his house will stand the test of time. and the tests that God brings to bear on that house. So there is deliberate thought. There's a conscious seeking out of that which is, and that of course is common sense. You just don't go and look and say, there's a place of a pleasant outlook. It's an easy access route. I'll just build there, regardless of whether or not the foundation will hold it come bad weather. You don't do that. The man or woman who is going to build the relationship with God understands that word that he has given is that which they must receive. They must come to Christ. There must be a coming to Christ. There must be a receiving of the words of Christ by faith. There must be a believing in those words. And there must be a doing of those words. That's the digging for the foundation. It takes time and it takes thought. I want to ask you tonight, given the fact that you only have one life to live, one life that is being built every day, whether you consciously think about it or not, do you desire to build your life on a foundation that is solid, upon a foundation that is secure, upon a foundation that will stand, which will stand the test that will be thrown at it? It's a serious question. Because if you want to do that, then you can. It is possible to do it. It's a great thing about God and His Word. He does not hold out to us impossible dreams. It's Satan who holds out to us the impossible dream. It's Satan who holds out to us things that will not come true. It's Satan who presents everything in nice, bright lights, but doesn't show us the filth and the dirt and the scum and the scam behind those bright lights. God, in the person of His Son, says to us that if you dig thoughtfully, meticulously, deliberately into My Word, then you're building the character of your life on the rock that will stand your life in wonderful stead. There is another foundation. Matthew, in his account of this end of sermon address by Jesus, speaks of that foundation as sand. There's a sense in which no thought is given to this foundation. It's just that the person has gone out and built where he has seen a piece of ground that's accessible and pleasant. And you know, it's easy. Many people do it. They live their lives. They never really give a thought to their lives. They never give a thought to who they are. They never give a thought to where they're heading in their life. They never give a thought to... It's a growing reality in our society today, and I think it will become increasingly so because of the financial pressures that many people experience. They've had this dream that wealth, even a little bit of wealth, would bring them happiness, and it's been snatched from them now. And I think it's evident in the increasing number of suicides of young people. There's this hopelessness. There's this sense of, what's the point? There isn't any point in us continuing on with my life because there's nothing for me to live for. I have nothing to live for. They've gone out and they've sought to build their lives on a foundation that has no solid matter in it. There's been no digging. There's been no seeking. There's been no searching. There's been no pursuance after the rock. the just have built. They've built their structure, the character of their lives, and that's it. That's it. And why this is so important is because in God's providence, what I mean by God's providence is that God sends us tests in our lives. James speaks of those tests very clearly in the opening chapter of James. He talks about the testing that God sends to our lives and why God allows that testing in our lives. Various kinds of trials, the testing of your faith. And the reason why God sends those tests is to prove the veracity, the realness of our faith. The testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. The providence of God means that God allows testing to come to our lives, and he also allows Satan to bring temptations to our lives. And these are the things that Jesus speaks of, this flood that arises. And we've seen that in the last year in the United Kingdom. We've seen how floods have descended upon villages and communities and how they have cascaded through communities. There's a program recently on the floods in England in the last year, and one showed the city centre of Newcastle and how that the school, the local comprehensive school, within a space of a few hours, the rain had driven with such force like a torrent into the school, costing £1.5 million worth of damage on the ground floor because it was lower than the road level. And the iPhone or any phone evidence showed this water just cascading down, and there were steps of stairs, and the water was come flowing down it, and you'd almost thought it was like rapids. It's like a waterfall, the water cascading down. And if you'd have photoshopped into this scene a couple of big mountains, you'd have thought you were out in the middle of the wilderness, but you weren't. There were two shopping malls either side of this, and the water was coming hurtling down. And God allows those things to come hurtling into our lives. He tests us. He allows Satan to come and tempt us. And his purpose is to prove the reality of our faith. It's to make us steadfast. It's to build us in our faith. It's to build within us a sense of conviction and firmness that what we say we believe is what we believe. And the outcome is that when the stream breaks against the house that is built upon the rock, nothing happens. The water breaks around the building because the building is so solidly founded in the ground that the impact of the water, regardless of the scale of the flood, can't do any structural damage to the house. It may mean that the carpets all have to be taken out and all the furniture in the lower floor has to be taken out and has to be replaced. But in terms of the structural edifice itself, it doesn't create any damage. The person's character is maintained. There may have to be a time of recovery, but who they are, and they can look at that testing in their lives and they say to themselves, I came through that testing. And there's some of you in here tonight, and that's the reality of your experience as a Christian. Because you dug into the Word of God, because you came, you heard Christ, and you not only heard Christ, but you sought after Christ. Then God brought a season of testing into your life. He allowed Satan to come and tempt you. But you didn't crumble. You're here tonight. You're here tonight because that edifice which you have built, your life, your character, has been built on the Word of God. It's been built on the person of Christ. And that's a glorious thing. That's an amazing thing. When the torrent of the flood flows through a church, whether in an individual capacity, whether in a family, or whether in the church as a whole, to see those buildings standing there firm, resolute, determined. The reason why they're standing resolute and determined and firm is not because they're gritting their teeth and they're saying, we're going to make our way through that. It has nothing to do with the house structure. It has everything to do with the foundation that has been laid. It's everything to do with the fact that the character has been planted in the foundation that is Christ. It has been planted in the Word of God, and they stand firm. You stand firm because you're more determined than others, because you're more resolute than others, because your character... No, it's because Christ, whom you have aligned yourself to all those days before when you read the Word of God, all those days when you made good decisions, little decisions that were good, important little decisions, those built your character so that when it was unleashed, the floods came cascading and the force was mighty. And you wondered, will I be able to withstand this? Can I hold my ground? It wasn't a case of, can I hold my ground? Christ was standing, holding you by the ankles. And He was holding you. He was holding you by the hand. Why? Because you were determined to withstand the torrent. No, because you, over a period of months, weeks, years before, had been building that character in Christ. That means that your foundation was laid in Him. There's another foundation where there is no building in Christ. And the torrent comes. And the house without a foundation falls. It falls. Come and sit in church. They've listened to the Word of God. They've sat in mats. They've spoken with us after worship. The torrent came. The house fell. Is there not a warning in that? Building of life not in the rock. A building of the character not in the Word. A building of a life not in Christ. A building of life in the things of religion. In the activity of religion. A building of a life in a routine. No foundation. To all intents and purposes, the house looks the same. May have the same appearance in terms of building materials. May have the same rooms. May have the same layout. But the reality is, there's a very, very different house because the foundation is different. Matthew says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I shall declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Lord, Lord, did we not build our relationship with you? Lord, Lord, did we not come and sit and worship? Lord, Lord, did we not go to the Mets? Lord, Lord, did we not join with the prayer meeting? Lord, Lord,
We participated in various activities in the church. Lord, Lord, we went in the church weekends. Lord, Lord, we gave to you a portion of that which you gave to us. Lord, Lord, we did this. We spoke of how much you worked in our lives. Lord, Lord, we spoke of how great you were and how much we wanted to serve you. But the problem is no foundation. No foundation. It's all just talk. It's all just talk. There's no solid digging into Christ and his word. There's a warning in this. There's a real serious warning. Torrents will come. The testing is there to prove us steadfast. The temptations are real. The day that we don't want to find out that we have built on the wrong foundation is the day we die. I would say to you tonight, if you're in the habit of saying, Lord, Lord, but you're not building on the foundation of Christ, then do you know what? Do you know what you can do? You can knock your present building down. Saying you take your own life, by the way. But you can seek out a new piece of ground. You can seek out and you can dig into the foundation that is Christ. Isn't it a wonderful thing that tonight every one of us have the hope-filled reality of beginning the next stage in the building of this dwelling of the character of our lives? Isn't it a wonderful thing that tonight you have the potentiality in Christ to go home, go into your bedroom, close the door, and have communion with God and say to him, I want to commence or recommence the building of the structure of my life upon your words, upon your light, upon your truth. Isn't that an amazing, hope-filled prospect? That you could look in 10 years' time and say how my life changed when I heard either for the first time by the Spirit of God or for a renewed time through the Spirit of God, that I can begin to once again construct, if I have left it off for a season, or I can, by the grace of God, begin for the first time in my life to construct a life, a character that is laid in a foundation that is firm, secure, and immovable. No matter what comes by way of testing or by way of God-permitted temptation, I can. And I will build my life on the rock that is Christ Jesus. And I will begin to take decisions, conscious decisions, to deliberately come to him, to deliberately hear him, to deliberately receive from him, and deliberately to obey his commands. What a prospect. What a hope. And I want to finish tonight by encouraging you, those of you who have done this, to keep on doing it. Keep on at it. Keep on building on the rock. Because there will be more tests coming. But you have proved, you have demonstrated. You've demonstrated that this is real. You've demonstrated that no matter what testing comes, no matter what temptation comes, you are there. I would love to name you tonight. I would love to name you, and it would be embarrassing for you and for other people. I would love to pick you out and say, do you know what?
The joy that you bring to God in heaven because you have built upon the rock and He has tested you and you have withstood, and Satan has been allowed to throw at you and you have stood, and you stood because the rock Christ Jesus has been your love. Your love. That's why you've stood, because you've loved Him. You've loved Him. As He has loved you, you've loved Him. You keep going. You keep building. You keep laying up in your heart treasures in heaven. And when Christ returns, He will not say to you, "Depart from me, I never knew you." He will say to you, "Come in. Come in. Because you proved that my foundation was real. Real."